Okay, where the heck are the A's going to play? Where are the White Sox going to play? And you won't believe where the Yankees were once thinking of playing.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all the Major League Baseball. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. I am a baseball podcaster with background in television and writing and teaching and all this. I've done a lot of stuff, but I've been podcasting about baseball, my great love, for well over a decade now. And we are now in my sixth season here at the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm looking forward to a lot more fun. Fun. Follow us on Twitter or whatever the hell it's called now on Locked On MLB Pods. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube. And if you're following us every single day, use that hashtag EverydaySully. Hey, today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDON for $20 off of your first purchase. Okay, there's a lot of stuff we're going to cover. Most of it is off-the-field stuff. Well, actually, it's not true. Most of it is field stuff. Stuff about stadiums. Where the hell are people going to play? And next week, if I'm not mistaken, two of my great obsessions are going to collide. You're going to have the Academy Award announcements, and I promise I'm not going to talk Oscars here. I am an Oscar addict, but I'm going to put that away right now. There are some good movies that came out this year. But we're also going to have the Hall of Fame announcement. And I'm not 100% sure the schedule of when the actual drop date is for the announcement, but here, the day of the Hall of Fame announcement, I am going to be doing a prediction show. I'm going to do a show which is going to be a three-parter. The first part is going to be the players I would vote in if I had a ballot. Second part is going to be who I predict is going to get in. And then third part, which we'll record later, will be my reactions to who is going to get in. So that should be some fun. There's still some big free agents out there. Josh Hader is playing footsie with the Houston Astros, and maybe something is going to come about from that. Hey, let's go to the trivia question I did yesterday. We talked a lot about broadcasting and webcasting and streaming and all the stuff. We consume things on our devices. We don't consume things on our televisions anymore unless we hook up our television to internet. Easy for you to say. I was talking about the fact that when baseball embraces new technology, that's when good things tend to happen. The trivia question was, what was the first World Series game that was broadcast on television? And a couple of people got it right. John 042 and Big John 08865. The Johns, following me, got it right that it was the 1947 Yankees defeating the Brooklyn Dodgers, which was also the first year that Jackie Robinson played. Hey, John 042 wrote something in response to the streaming situation. He said, Sully, a few years ago, I could only get baseball by streaming in Ireland. He lives in Ireland. There was no option on TV, no matter the game. It's only recently we started getting ESPN showing games regularly. Great. But I'm surprised they didn't black out the Red Sox games in Ireland. Rebecca Quinley, 8093, says 100% about no blackouts on premium tier that gets everything. MLB should be able to give ESPN, Peacock, Fox, Apple their percentage of our money. Just figure out a way to have fans watch all the games. And I good call, Rebecca. And I did bring that up, that I'm not against baseball going on to Peacock or Apple TV or Amazon to sort of draw in a viewer or two. I'm just saying, for those of us who are the diehard fans, put it all on the MLB.com app. We will pay, trust me, we will pay the subscription fee. We're the ones who will fork over that money. If you the amount of money, if you consider it's 162 games, binge watching 162 games for your team and every team to be able to have that at the drop of a hat, whatever they want to charge me a month, I'm paying. And for the people who are the diehard fans who need it every day, we're gonna pay. And not everyone is gonna pay. So those are the ones you scatter all over the place and you try to get them to become the big fans so they are willing to pay. People are willing to pay big, huge money to see Oppenheimer or Barbie or Spider-Man once. We'll shell that out. We'll shell that out once a month if that's what it takes. It's a bargain for the amount of entertainment that we're going to get. But not everyone's going to do that. For those people, you put that on all the streaming stuff. And then if they get to the point where, hey, I got to watch it every day, then they spring for the big thing, of which you could have the broadcast be, welcome to Amazon, showing you the Brewers versus the Tigers, but it's on the MLB app. This isn't that hard to figure out. I'll tell you what's really hard to figure out is where the hell are the A's going to play? I used a ticket app, which I'm going to talk about later, a little teaser for the ad there, and I bought a ticket for the final A's game of the 2024 season, which will probably be the final A's game ever played in Oakland. But there's no stadium yet in Las Vegas. In fact, as far as I know, they haven't even put shovel into ground. The chances of them being able to have, no matter how fast they build things in Las Vegas, and I still can't believe they picked Las Vegas as the city. I think it's a disaster waiting to happen. But that being said, they're not going to have a stadium until what, 2028? And so the lease at the Oakland Alameda Coliseum is up after I go to that game that I bought the ticket for in September. And so according to reports, that three-year gap has become a point of interest for the A's and Major League Baseball. And one of the things that has been coming around is, could there be temporary homes in temporary minor league cities for the A's? This is a vagabond franchise as it is. This is going to be a topic of a show coming up in the next week or so about why aren't they the team of Philadelphia? But they've left Philadelphia in the 50s. They left Kansas City in the 60s. Now they're going to leave Oakland. And they are going to wander the desert like Moses, waiting for the promised land that is Las Vegas, the indifferent fans of Las Vegas. Well, according to John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle, the A's have been considering maybe playing a couple of years in Sacramento at Sutter Health Park, the AAA ballpark for what used to be the A's affiliate, then became the Giants affiliate. Well, now there's also talk that, and there's some idle talk, maybe they could play in Reno, maybe they could play in the minor league stadium in Las Vegas. That would be a catastrophe if they played in the minor league stadium in Las Vegas. First of all, it's open air in the summertime in Nevada. Boom. But also, the A's already feel like a minor league team. If they put a minor league team playing major league teams, having the snot kicked out of them in the same place where Las Vegas fans are used to going to see minor league games, the excitement of a big league team would be completely flattened. And by the time they move into the Bugsy Siegel Dome or whatever it's going to be called, the excitement of the Major League Baseball team being there would be dead. It would be deader than dead. It would be deader than Bugsy Siegel, for that matter. So the talk of Sacramento, I find very intriguing. And the talk of there's also potential them playing in Utah. And boy, oh boy, two states that are really close to each other that have slightly different cultures. Utah, where you can't, they don't sin a lot in Utah. They sin in Nevada. That's all I'll say on that. I don't want to get in trouble. But yeah, the reputations of the two states are kind of sort of different. And there's a possibility they could play a year or two in Utah. And this team, which is having trouble finding a home, and the minute they land in the Oakland Coliseum, before the 1968 season, they almost instantly were looking for a new home. My whole life, the A's have been trying to find a new place to play. And wouldn't it be wild if they just kept playing in a new place? And it became an audition place for teams trying to get a major league team. You know, there was, if the A's had to move, and I can't stress this enough, I don't want the A's to move. But if they had to move, Portland made a hell of a lot more sense to me than Las Vegas. Portland seems like a much better landing place for a major league baseball team. If you're going to, you have Portland, you have Nashville, and you have Charlotte, and you have Montreal. Those are the four realistic places that a major league team could survive right now. And you're not going to expand by four teams, so why not have one? If you have to move a team, and I wish they didn't, but if they had to move a team, move the A's to one of those places, not to Las Vegas. But this is kind of the twisted part of me. I kind of want them to play 1 year in this place, 1 year in that place, for this reason. I will go to those games. I have Southwest points. Southwest flies out of Burbank to Sacramento, to Salt Lake City, to Portland. All these places that are popping up, Reno. All these places are popping up as possible landing places for the A's a year here or a year there. And don't think I'm not drooling at the possibility of being able to say, yeah, they played 3 years in Sacramento, and I went to a bunch of games there. Here's what I really hope. I really hope they don't call themselves the Oakland A's or the Las Vegas A's. I hope they'll call themselves the Sacramento A's or the Reno A's or the Salt Lake City A's. And I hope they win the World Series. Just so when you list all the World Series, you'll go, what, six? Was a team in Salt Lake City? Yeah, kind of. Well, there's another team that right now is doing some very, very strange stuff in terms of their potential stadium situation. And something about it smells fishy. I mentioned the fact that I've been buying tickets. I'll tell you exactly how I've been buying tickets. I've been doing it via the Game Time app. Now, let me tell you something. If you're going to be buying tickets, and if you're going to be trying to get out there and see all the best concerts, to see all the best sporting events, no matter what sport you're following, what you got to do is head on over to Game Time, because Game Time is the fastest and easiest way to pick up your tickets and do it right. Pick up your tickets and be able to see exactly where you are, exactly where your seats are, and being able to see, is my view obstructed? Is it the right angle? Is it the right place I want to sit? And you get killer last-minute deals, all in prices. None of those hidden fees. Views from the seats. Best price guarantee takes all the guesswork out of buying tickets. And you get the lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection, all those things. And you got flash deals, zone deals, anything you want to get those tickets. I just bought tickets for the A's final game. Granted, A's tickets are not always the hardest to find, but I've got them right on my app. And it's so easy. You can buy the tickets in two taps on the app. And you can find exclusive flash deals. And with zone deals, you pick the section and game time guarantees to pick the seats, the best seats, for big time savings. Take all the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDON for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and use the code LOCKEDON for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, you get the lowest prices. And guess what? That's all guaranteed. That's the Game Time promise. Hey, a quick reminder for fans out there that Locked On has launched the first ever national 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today is there for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with local experts on Locked On, plus our national shows like this one covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports today and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox made some sort of crazy announcement that they are having a serious talk about the South Loop, the 78. It's a big old stretch of undeveloped land that is in the south, not quite the south side where they play right now. It's closer to the center of the city. It's this big old stretch of land that I'm guessing isn't cheap, that would be able to house a major league ballpark. And if they're able to open it up in the correct way, you would have a beautiful view of downtown Chicago. It's the Sears Tower. I don't know what it's called. The John Hancock Tower and the Sears Tower, I believe they've renamed them. I don't know. Let's just call it the Sears Tower. That's what I still think of it. But this has been a place that the White Sox have now been saying could be the new home of the White Sox. Now, I did a video, I think it was last January, about all the different times the White Sox nearly moved. They nearly moved to Milwaukee. They nearly moved to Seattle. They nearly moved to Tampa. And there have been all sorts of, you know, proposals for stadiums, including one to the people who would eventually design Camden Yards that got rejected. What they built was New Comiskey Park, which became Guaranteed Rate Park. It was U.S. Cellular in between, which is a bit of a miss. It's a bit of a miss. It's not terrible. It's a little antiseptic, and it came just before the explosion of these incredibly warm and character-filled stadiums like Camden Yards, like Jacobs Field, a.k.a. Progressive Field, like Petco Park, like Oracle Park in San Francisco, which I think is the most beautiful park in all of baseball, and a slew of other ones, U.S. Cellular, Citizens Bank Ballpark is what I meant to say. The one in Philadelphia I went to a few years ago, which is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. The White Sox missed out on that. And now they're probably thinking, okay, let's get back into this. And this is being a proposal. It's being thrown out there. It could be a great place for the White Sox, great way to make that a hub of potential businesses. An argument that I keep hearing that always rings a little false. There have been a few examples of that happening in baseball, but not many. But there's something about this smells fishy. Maybe it's because I lived in the Bay Area for so long, and I lived in the Bay Area for all the times that the A's were dangling Fremont and San Jose and all these different places as potential landing spots for the A's. Something about this feels fishy. The owner of the White Sox Reinsdorf seems to be playing a little bit of footsie with the city of Nashville. The city of Nashville is a potential dynamite landing spot for either an expansion team or an existing team. It has the type of fan base that I think would make a great baseball city. They have a fan base that has deep roots. People have lived in Nashville for generations. It's not a transplanted city the way that Phoenix is, the way that Miami is, the way that Las Vegas is. There's, you know, generations of people, great pride in Nashville. They've shown they can be supportive of sports teams there. And there's a lot of money, a lot of big businesses, a lot of chance to sell out corporate boxes and corporate sponsorships and all that other stuff that you kind of sort of need to have. And has a huge push to get a team there with the Nashville Stars group that includes a lot of people, including friend of the podcast, Bob Kendrick, and people like Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart. Lots of people, lots of money wanting to put a team in Nashville. And I can't help but think that the White Sox management is thinking, we are the second team in Chicago. They are. And again, I want everyone to note, I don't want the A's to move. I love the A's in Oakland. for personal reasons, and also the many A's fans I do know, I love the quirkiness of the A's. I want them to stay in Oakland, and I really want the White Sox to stay in Chicago. But I do understand why those teams would want to move elsewhere. The White Sox saying, geez, we can never get the attention of this city. Yeah, and I bet you anything, they could build the most beautiful Camden Yards-type ballpark right in the middle of Chicago. But I think that ship has kind of sailed in terms of reviving franchises. I think you need to just put the big product on the field. Camden Yards was a massive success because it was new. There were so many cookie-cutter parks and multi-purpose parks, and Camden Yards exploded as this giant geyser of nostalgia in the middle of Baltimore. Well, now that's what's expected. It's kind of like the first Spider-Man movie was really, really cool, but now every other minute there's a Spider-Man movie, and it's like, all right, we get it. He swings on webs. We got it. It's no longer as exciting, and the same thing for a beautiful new ballpark, especially since Chicago kind of already has one in Wrigley Field. I know they're diehard White Sox fans. I know diehard White Sox fans. And I know there are some White Sox fans who will never, ever, and did I mention ever, become Cub fans. Yeah, but they're mainly Cub fans. Even when the White Sox won the freaking World Series in 2005, people were going on the street. You know, the ESPN was interviewing people on the street looking for Cub fans for their reaction of the White Sox winning the World Series. So I'm sure management, kind of like how the A's management, going like, we're the Bay Area can't support two teams. Let's get out of here. And the White Sox management, Chicago could potentially support two teams, but unless the White Sox are really, really good, they have trouble drawing. And they certainly have trouble getting the attention of the city. And said, why don't we take a city where we'll be the biggest thing there? So I get it. And why I'm bringing that up is there's this whole loop, South Loop thing going on. Was it the 70, the 78 in Chicago? I have a feeling that's where the Bears are going to have their new ballpark stadium. I'm sorry, I'm used to saying ballpark. And this strikes me as the White Sox are saying, hey, we tried to do blank. What was proposed doesn't really make any financial sense for the city, and they're probably not really going to do it, but they can point to it the same way the A's pointed to Fremont and Howard Terminal and all the other places throughout the Bay Area, everywhere short of my mother's backyard. So this is the way that they can say, we got Nashville. But hey, Chicago, we tried. Oh, boy, did we try. But you all didn't want to pay for that, and we got this thing from Nashville. This strikes me as a little bit, I don't want to say fishy. It just strikes me as this is their way to make it look like they did their due diligence. And that in the end, they're probably going to go elsewhere. And it would not stun me if when all is said and done, the White Sox become the Nashville White Sox. I'm not saying I want that. I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me. Kind of like I don't want another Spider-Man movie. I just get the sense they're going to make one, whether I want to see it or not. Truth be told, there are good Spider-Man films, but kind of done with them. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about our friends over at FanDuel, especially when you consider what it is time for the NFL playoffs. And if you are putting money down, there is no better place to go than America's number one sportsbook. Hey, are you putting together your bets for this weekend? Big games coming up, figuring out who's going to go to the conference championship and blah, blah, blah. This is where you go. You go to FanDuel. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. The app is so easy to use, and there's so many different ways to bet, like the live same-game parlays. You find bets in the new Explore tab, make a parlay at the Parlay Hub. It's the best way to find popular parlays and more. So visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn and make your first bet an easy chip shot field goal. FanDuel, it's an official partner of the National Football League. I'm going to be doing a What If Friday today, and it involves, well, we've been talking about franchise moving and strange things happening behind the scenes, and there was a period of time when a city had a bunch of teams, and there was a lot of friction, and people wondering, ooh, is this team going to stay in this stadium? Is this team going to move? And it was a while ago. It was about 100 years ago, a little more. And it involved a lot of, angry rich owners and a rich league president butting heads that almost created what would have been, from our timeline, one of the biggest and strangest and most divergent new histories of not only baseball, but baseball fandom. Let me just tell you what I'm talking about. In the 1910s and the 1920s, you had the American League and the National League, and they really were two different entities. There was no Major League Baseball. You had two distinct leagues that really only interacted at the World Series. That was one of the things that made the World Series so special. There was also a lot of times the American League was formed to take on the National League, and they took them on head-to-head in a bunch of cities. That's why you had so many cities that had two teams: Philadelphia, Boston, St. Louis, Chicago. A lot of these, you know, New York had three teams, with, if you counted Brooklyn, and I do. You had some cities in the National League that folded, like in Cleveland and Detroit, and boom, they jumped in there. Really, as now that I'm thinking about it, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh were the only teams that were National League only, that the American League didn't encroach on them. Well, within the American League, there was a lot of strife and a lot of arguing. And the president of the American League, the person who founded it, was Ban Johnson, big, larger-than-life figure who clashed often with some of the owners in baseball. Three of the owners he clashed with were Harry Fraser, who owned the Red Sox, Colonel Rupert, who owned the Yankees, and Charles Comiskey, who owned the Chicago White Sox. And those three teams were battling Ban Johnson, arguing with Ban Johnson, and being a thorn in Ban Johnson's side, Ban Johnson being the president of the American League. Now, the Yankees were not a very profitable team. The Red Sox were a very successful team, winning a bunch of World Series in the 1910s. The White Sox were also successful, but they got in big trouble and really put the league in an embarrassing situation when the White Sox players started taking money from gamblers to throw the 1919 World Series. Watch the movie Field of Dreams or 8 Men Out if you want to know about that. Well, the Red Sox owners, Harry Fraser, was more interested in being a Broadway producer. And very famously, he sold off big stars like Carl Mays and eventually Babe Ruth from the Red Sox to the Yankees to finance his plays. And at one point, as part of the deal for Babe Ruth, it included a mortgage that the collateral of the move was a loan of which the mortgage of Fenway Park was used as collateral. Essentially, the Yankees owned a gigantic piece of Fenway Park. Well, when Babe Ruth came to the Yankees, they were playing in the Polo Grounds, which was the home of the Giants. The Giants were the team of New York until Babe Ruth showed up. And with Babe Ruth there, even though it was the Giants stadium and the Yankees were just leasing it, renting it, the Babe Ruth Yankees were outdrawing the Giants. The Giants were winning. The Giants were pennant winners and World Series winners, but people were waiting to see Babe Ruth. That kind of embarrassed the Giants. And the owner of the president of the American League, Ban Johnson, already hated the Yankees and saw that the moves that the Red Sox were making with the Yankees were pretty much bankrupting the Red Sox. And so Johnson went across league lines and tried to persuade the owner of the Giants, Mr. Stoneham, to evict the Yankees when their lease ran out, as if to say, get out of here. We don't want you outdrawing us in our own ballpark. You got to scram and force them out and basically make them look silly, make them a team without a home. And if that situation happened and there was no other place, they wouldn't be able to go to Brooklyn. The Dodgers weren't about to let them share there. If that had happened, there was a factor in the Babe Ruth trade that I had mentioned that would have been in the Yankees' favor. If they were pushed out of the Polo Grounds, as was suggested by the American League president, and the Giants owner was thinking, hey, this is a pretty good deal, the Yankees could have used the fact that they had Fenway Park as collateral of the Babe Ruth move and move to Fenway Park, where they would have undoubtedly outdrawn the Red Sox, of which the Red Sox would have probably been pushed out, and they would have gone to another market. There was no team in Baltimore. They could have gone down to Atlanta, although it wasn't really viable at that point. But the possibility of the Boston Yankees, when the Yankees acquired all the big stars from Boston, and after 1 year in New York, they all went up to Boston. And the Boston Yankees makes more sense, as the Yankees are considered a New England term, if I'm not mistaken. And all the players would be back in Fenway Park, and the fans would come back, and Frazee would have been forced out, and the Red Sox would have moved. And then all of those fans in New England through the years would have grown up diehard Yankee fans, because that would have been the old town team. Eventually, the Red Sox probably would have moved. Certainly, the Braves would have moved. And all of New England would be Yankee territory. New England Yankees rooting for their beloved Yankees, Babe Ruth and all of them, who won all of those titles. And you know what? The Red Sox actually used to play in Boston, too. Oh, that feels so weird. Because when you think of Boston and Boston sports fans, you think of diehard Yankee fans. That timeline could have happened. Eventually, the Giants said, yeah, do you know what? We're probably better off just letting them lease for one more year. But then you got to go. And by then, the Yankees built their own ballpark in the Bronx, right across the river from the Polo Grounds, basically as a giant middle finger. But oh, how that middle finger could have been different. We would have been able to say the sentence, welcome to Fenway Park, home of the Yankees. Hey, I mentioned in our trivia question, I mentioned the name Carl Mays. Carl Mays was one of the players, big star for the Red Sox, who went from the Boston to New York, along with Babe Ruth. Now, Carl Mays was the pitcher on the mound to clinch the 1918 World Series, which for years and years and years was the last World Series the Red Sox ever won. But as a member of the Yankees, what is Carl Mays' other claim to fame? That is your trivia question. Red Sox fans may remember Carl Mays. He clinched the World Series 1918. For years and years, that meant something. But he did something else. A significant piece of baseball history was done specifically by Carl Mays. So follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and Instagram. I am your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram, talking about where did the A's and White Sox play and where could the Yankees have played. This has been Locked On MLB for the 19th day of January 2024. My name is Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.